Go behind the scenes with Colleen.
Hello, hello, Richard Thompson.
Hello, hello, hello.
A pleasure to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you, even if virtually.
Absolutely. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm great. Thank you so much for checking in with Baltimore and telling us all about this brand new book. Congratulations on Bee's Wing, Losing My Way and Finding My Voice. 14 chapters. I'm up to chapter 3. 312 pages, but Richard, it's only focused on the years 1967 and 1975, so I'm sure you've been asked, but tell Baltimore, why didn't you start earlier, even though you do touch on the early years, or cover later years? Why these particular years?
I thought that, you know, that it's such an interesting decade, you know, 60s into the 70s. So many people still ask me about that time period, and that decade seems to have had a resonance that we're still feeling. I mean, people still listen to Led Zeppelin and you know, Dark Side of the Moon and Jethro Tull. I mean, it's a strange anomaly almost that it would have such a long influence. So I was keen to add my voice to the other voices out there and describe that particular time period. And also, I wanted to see if I could write a book.
You did.
If I could do the long form, you know, as a songwriter, you think, can I write anything longer than 3 minutes?
Sure. And that's what I was going to ask you. Is it difficult to remember so far back? You gave us a lot of information, and it's beautifully written. But did you face any challenges when you were writing the book?
I realized that my memory was very selective, and I would compare notes with, you know, fellow band members from that time. And they remember stuff that I don't, and I remember stuff that they don't. It's completely selective. So I can only write about what I can remember. And I had to rely to some extent on websites that have all of Fairport's tour dates going back to 1967, you know, to give it some structure, you know,
right,
to give it a kind of chronology. Otherwise, I would have been totally lost.
Well, did you remember turning down a Paul McCartney birthday party?
I remember that, yeah, absolutely, yeah. If you ask me to his 80th, I shall go.
Now, you have an audiobook to this, and you're narrating it, correct? Was that difficult?
That was the hardest thing. Not in terms of just, you know, telling my story, but there's some harrowing stuff in the book. I mean, we had a traffic accident in 1969 that killed our drummer, and having to write that was traumatic. Having to read it was almost impossible, and I really had to stop and have a little cry now and then. It was very, very hard to do.
Well, as a songwriter, a fantastic songwriter, the process for you, Richard, does the melody come first or the lyrics, or does it depend?
Oh, it depends.
Yeah.
If you have the lyrics first and then you write the tune, that's one kind of song.
It
will sound different from a song where you start with the melody and you add the lyrics. And I definitely work both ways. And I think that possibly gives you more range and more possibilities, that you're not always a slave to the same process.
Yeah. Was the guitar your first instrument? Did you play piano first?
No, I didn't. I picked up the guitar, first of all, when I was about 10 years old. And that's been my main sweetheart ever since.
And what artist is your biggest influence? Who made the biggest impact, Richard, on your career? Can you name one person?
One person? when I was growing up, my sister had every Buddy Holly record. So from the age of, how old was I, like, gosh, well, from about 1958 onwards, when I was about 8, 9 years old, all I heard, you know, through the bedroom wall was Buddy Holly. So that was probably the biggest influence. And I was very honored to receive a replica of Buddy Holly's guitar from the Buddy Holly Foundation a couple of years ago, which I treasure.
Yeah, and you've worked with Jerry Rafferty, Sandy Denny, David Byrne, Bonnie Raitt. Is there any musician on your wish list that you would like to collaborate with in the future?
Well, there's lots of dead people I'd like to collaborate with. It'd be a fly on the wall, anyway.
Right.
I'd like to collaborate with Django Reinhardt and perhaps Louis Armstrong and maybe Mozart. So that's a very cheeky answer. Forgive me.
That's okay. I love it. And your last album came out in 2018, 13 Rivers. Are you working on anything new?
Well, the nice thing about lockdown, maybe the only nice thing about lockdown, has been the opportunity to do lots of writing.
Yeah.
Not being on the road. I've had time to write two EPs, two six-track EPs. I've written the next band album. I've written half of a musical play.
Wow.
So I'm well ahead in the writing department. And as soon as it seems sensible, I'll get together with my band and we'll start rehearsing and get back in the studio.
Do you still work with the musicians in Fairport Convention?
Well, I'm not with Fairport anymore. I sort of have my own trio.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I wasn't sure if Fairport Convention still played music live.
No, they do. I mean, they still exist. And this August, you know, COVID willing, God willing,
right.
I'll be at Fairport's festival, which they have every August.
Yes.
And I'll be a guest at that festival.
And also, if COVID willing, the annual guitar camp in New York, is that going to be happening in July?
That is happening this year. It took us a while to deliberate whether we could pull it off or not, but that is going to happen, and that's in 5th to the 9th of July up near Woodstock. And it's called Frets and Refrains, if anyone would like to come along. Teach songwriting and guitar. We have lots of wonderful, wonderful instructors.
Well, you're going to have to give out your website then so people can find out more information on that.
Okay, my website is it's called Richard Thompson Music.
Richard, what does a normal day look like for you? And I'm not talking this past crazy year, but take us through a day of Richard Thompson.
Okay, I have two kinds of normal. I have normal at home and normal on the road, and it's about 50-50 in any year. I'm either away or I'm home. If I'm home, then I like to get up early, you know, potter around, do some songwriting, do a bit of gardening, and, you know, see some friends.
Yeah.
Anything arty going on, like art exhibitions, I'd like to go to the opera, hear classical music, hear some jazz, anything like that is wonderful. And see my kids, that's even better, who are geographically far-flung. If I'm on the road, it's a very disciplined kind of life where you get up to travel. You know,
yes.
You get up at 8, 9 a.m. and you get on the bus and off you go and you sound check. And, you know, it's a long day
if
you're on the road.
Yeah. And home base for you is New Jersey, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, you're not too far from us. Are you going to be playing any music on the East Coast anytime soon?
Well, in New Jersey, I think June 28th, I have a show in Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Okay.
Which is outdoor. It's on a big football field. You can socially distance as much as you want to. It's all laid out in squares. And I did it last year, and it was wonderful. We got 500-600 people. So we're going to do it again, and hopefully people will come, and we hope for good weather.
Yeah, sounds like a nice road trip from Baltimore to New Jersey. Richard Thompson, the new book is Bee's Wing, Losing My Way and Finding My Voice. It is out and available everywhere, right?
Everywhere they sell books.
Okay. And audiobooks, too. You can get the audiobook version. Richard actually is the narrator. So that's very cool, and congratulations. It's great to get to know you, and thanks for checking in with Baltimore.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Richard.
Yeah, take care yourself.
Bye-bye.
Hear every episode of Behind the Scenes with Colleen at thebayonline.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.